Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the Spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-host and friend, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we're talking about women friendships. Why are they so challenging? You know, Christian women, I mean, what's the first thing that pops into your mind when I say that? Do you picture women who are in harmony? Or do you tend to imagine that friendships with women are challenging at best? And I know a lot of you have experiences both ways with that. We want to hear your thoughts.
And in our Bible study segment today, Sunny Shell is going to have lesson 10 in her Proverbs 31 woman study. This one is titled, She's a Distaff, Part 2 from Proverbs 31:19.
Yes, and all of the notes for Sunny's Bible study is on our website today at naomistable.com. You can go there and click on over to the Bible Studies tab. And you can download the notes and also just the mini podcasts that only contain the Bible lesson itself, not the entire show if you don't want that. You can also email us, join the table by hitting connect@naomistable.com. You can just email us there. You can also join our Google Plus community page and lots of friendships forming there on the page. Complete strangers from around the world are actually getting together on that page, which is a beautiful thing. And especially in light of what we're talking about today, Nancy, friendships. And we're going to go into the Bible today and see what God has. He's got a lot to say about friendships, doesn't he?
He sure does. And there are some very close friendships, almost like a brother or sister. And there are others that God actually warns us about, different kinds of friendships.
Yes, and you know what? We're going to talk about both of those kinds today. And then we're going to, a little bit later, we're going to talk about different kinds of friendships that women at Naomi's Table can have, because we talk a lot about spiritual moms and daughters getting together, you know, and what that looks like. But, you know, we as sisters in Christ were created especially for friendship. We're very social people, aren't we?
Women are relational anyway.
Yeah.
And then when you add in the fact that we're sisters in Christ, that's an even added bond. So we're friends, we're sisters, we're both really children of God that are seeking Him and digging into Him and really pursuing Him. And if you're pursuing friendships more than you're pursuing God, you might be a little unbalanced here. Something could be wrong. You might be looking for things that only God can give you from friends.
Yes, but you know, there are a lot of women, and I have a feeling that if you're listening to this program and you're hearing these words, you might have stirred a longing. Because many of you don't have real close friendships. We're going to talk about that. Why don't we have close friendships, some of us? And Nancy, I think it's because we move around a lot. We're busy, probably busier than many women in previous generations. Our moms and our grandmothers and great-grandmothers probably weren't as busy as we are now with all of the things bombarding us. And sometimes, I hate to say it and because I've done this, sometimes I think we use those things to build walls of protection.
Sometimes, and I'm definitely one that has been hurt in the past from who I thought was a friend. And you have to be very careful when you have experiences like that to not withdraw and say, okay, well, I'm going to be a lone wolf and go alone and all that. Now, in my instance, in addition to the busyness, I happen to have a very close relationship with my husband.
Yeah.
And I look at him as he is my best friend.
Yeah, I do too, and I think you and I are alike in that way. As we get to know each other, we're both kind of those lone wolves. Don't need to, you know, have every day filled with friendships, kind of social things. It's great when it happens, but I'm very content sitting at home, hanging out with my husband, and just chatting. And
it's like any second I'm not working, I want to be with him.
Interesting. So, but a lot of women have very close friendships and sometimes I long for that too sometimes. And I just feel like sometimes I'm missing out.
Well, one of the really good, friendships that God does really bless and want us to have is a friendship with someone who can edify us and we can edify them and help each other draw closer to God. Those kinds of things, almost like a co-mentoring, if you will. Those are really mutually beneficial friendships, and they also help build the body of Christ as each one of us is growing more and more.
Well, I think in womanhood, especially for Christians, I think we need to have those three kinds of friendships. Why don't we talk about that? Really the three kinds of friends that you want to make sure that you are nurturing as a biblical woman of God is if you can be a spiritual mom in a mentor friendship. There's two kinds of mentoring kind of friendships. A spiritual mom is one of them, and we talk a lot about spiritual moms and daughters at Naomi's Table. In fact, if you're a mom, your relationship with spiritual daughters, that those aren't necessarily your biological daughters, you might not even have any, but you love your spiritual daughters, and your heart is to teach and counsel and discipline her in a good way. This is the kind of relationship that is based on a kind of a ministry similar to the kind that Jesus had with his disciples, and it's based on you giving to her.
And that is something that is going to help you grow as well. If you are pouring into someone else's life, you're going to be learning right along with her. But it is so critical, too, to make sure that you're not lording it over.
Yeah.
That's not friendship.
No. No. It's not mentorship either.
No.
Exactly. You know, and the other side of it is the spiritual daughter, that mentee kind of friendship. So the second kind of friendship you may want to make sure that you do, even if you're an experienced, seasoned woman, you can still be a spiritual daughter in your friendship with your spiritual mom. You're blessed as being the one being taught. You're being counseled, you're being discipled, and yes, you are on the receiving end of the ministry. Sometimes it's hard to be on the receiving end, being served just as the disciples received from Jesus.
But you know what? That there's a wonderful bond that forms between those spiritual daughters and their spiritual mothers, and you can learn so much from someone who has gone before, someone who has experienced things, someone who lays open their heart and their pains and their trials so that you can see how they react. How do they stay with the fruits of the Spirit? How do they not get all completely downtrodden and how they keep going? And you can learn so much from watching someone like that. It gives you a tremendous perspective.
Yes,
that you
does.
Don't have just from your limited experiences.
Well, there is a third kind of friendship that has nothing to do with mentoring per se. It's a really kind of a sisterhood relationship. It's a mutual friendship based really not on mentoring again, but on enjoying kind of a similar spiritual level in which we both give and receive as Christian women of faith. Now, these mutual friendships can be quite different than mentoring relationships. Now, these relationships don't usually happen overnight. Nancy, you know, we all have a journey we need to be on with one another. And typically they develop over time as both women progress in wisdom and spiritual maturity. They get to know each other a little bit more, a few more laughs, you know, a few more tears, and a strong Christian friendship blossoms naturally. You don't want to force it. You don't want to rip open that rosebud when two friends grow together in faith, in goodness, in knowledge, and other many godly graces.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Develops naturally.
Yes.
It's not something really you can force. And you know there have been people that you've been with that you just click when you're with them. And oh my goodness, you could talk all night with them.
Yes.
And it's fun, it's challenging, it's stimulating intellectually and theologically in you as you talk about the things of God, as you talk about life.
Isn't that
things
exciting?
Like that.
Yeah, that is so exciting. And ladies, if you're ever in a relationship that's new and you feel that you're forcing it or they're forcing it and it's just awkward, don't give up. Because, you know, you can have laughs about that later. Remember when we were so awkward with each other at first? Give it time. You know, step back and even say, Man, I tried to force that. I'm so sorry. I wasn't being real here. But, you know, there are some things to keep in mind with each of these relationships. And I just want to say that mentoring friendships, the mother-daughter ones, they can easily become draining if both of you don't recognize the nature of this relationship and really have these appropriate boundaries, because the spiritual mom may need to pull back and take time for her own spiritual renewal and growth. And she may even have to say no sometimes. You know how hard it is for us to say no. But we need to set limits sometimes on our commitment to the people that we mentor. And likewise, a spiritual daughter can expect too much from her mom. And she's probably seeking a mutual bond or sisterhood there and trying to make it a different kind of relationship than it was meant to be. And here's a little tiny nugget of advice. Daughters and moms can grow up to be great friends, no doubt about it. But in the initial stages of mentoring in this season that you're in, daughters should look for close relationships, probably with someone other than their mentor for now, just so you can establish that nurturing, mentoring relationship.
But then eventually you could become more of a sister-type relationship with them.
I've seen it happen, and I've had it happen to me. And my spiritual moms that I've had in the past are now just my dearest, sweetest friends. And it's I just love it. We can go for a long time without talking and then get together for one lunch and then just laugh and pick up where we left off. In fact, I just had lunch with my own spiritual mom last week, and we met. And the funniest thing, we hadn't seen each other, Nancy, for about 18 months, and we sat down and the food came, and she peeks up, she says, Amy, I think it's your turn to pray. I was like, what? That was 18 months ago. Are you sure? Anyway.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. You know, we can both mentor and mentee as moms and daughters, but probably not with the same friend. You know, you may know a mature believer who mentors us in God's Word, and in turn, we can take the time to mentor a brand new follower in Christ, but maybe kind of keep those separate for now and let that grow again naturally.
So let's look at some traits of true Christian friends.
Yes.
I think the first one is that Christian friends are going to love sacrificially. And think about Jesus when he was talking to his disciples at the Last Supper right before they left for the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John 15:13, he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." Yep. So sometimes we can be a little selfish in our friendships and look at it as what they can do for us. What do they have to offer for us, rather than what can we do for them? So, you know, you need to really follow the advice in Philippians 2:3 that says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves."
We also, I look at that and think, loving sacrificially, well, I probably won't lay down my life for my friend here, but you know what? I will put down what I'm doing, and I can certainly come at the drop of a hat if a sister's in trouble. And I think that's the kind of relationships all of us long for, is that person who can help when times get really tough. And I know I've recently had to be there for a friend who is going through a huge trial. And we as Christians are supposed to go through trials because Jesus said we would. And just pray her through it.
And you know, times are going to be getting tough here.
Yeah.
I think as we get closer and closer to the end, you are going to learn who your true friends really are.
Yeah, those are the ones that stick by you. A second thing that, you know, a true Christian friend, what that looks like, they will accept you, and you will accept them unconditionally.
Yeah. You know, if we're easily offended or we hold on to bitterness, you're going to have a hard time making friends.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes now and then. And you know what? If you're truthful, look in the mirror, and you'll admit that you can bear some of the blame when things go wrong in a friendship. So be quick to forgive and be quick to ask forgiveness as well.
All right. Well, also, the thing that I'm kind of working on right now is trust. We need to trust each other completely, ladies. And sometimes it's hard to do that when somebody disappoints you or lets you down, or perhaps that was you. You've let somebody down, or you were late for lunch one too many times, or you've just really kind of disappointed somebody. We can repent of that and start over and say, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm going to try to invest in our trust, because trusting, like it says in Proverbs, this is 18:24. We just happen to have this one here. "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Wonder who they're talking about.
I think so. I know who that is.
But you know, the trust factor is big, because have you ever had someone who you thought was a friend and you shared something with them in confidence, and then next thing you know, it's blabbed all over the place?
Oh, that gossip will get you every time.
It sure will. But, you know, we're not going to be expected to completely trust more than just a few loyal friends. So you shouldn't have, if you're saying, oh, I have 1,000 friends, look at my friends, because you're looking at your Facebook page.
Those aren't real friendships unless you're actually there one another's side. Now, I have some great Facebook friends who I've never met in person, but we take the time, and actually we call each other now. We pray with each other, even in the message part of it. And you can have those online friendships if you invest in it. Doing it face-to-face is better, of course, and so we highly recommend that.
You know, another characteristic of Christian friends are you keep healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're feeling smothered in a friendship, something's wrong. Likewise, if you're feeling used and abused, something's wrong. Yeah. So you need to recognize what's best for someone and giving that person space or signs of a healthy friendship.
Yeah, and I also recommend, too, if your friend is always the one calling you and you're not reciprocating and you're not also reaching out to her, that's a pretty lopsided friendship. And I would just suggest that you maybe pick up the phone and reciprocate. Make that a priority for you today.
And another danger sign there is never, ever let a friend come between you and your spouse.
Yeah.
A true Christian friend is going to wisely avoid intruding and recognize your need to maintain other relationships, like with your husband.
Oh, absolutely. And then finally, we just want to say, too, that Christian friends give mutual edification. They will uphold each other and build each other up emotionally, spiritually, and physically, you know, go on walks together, whatever that looks like. But, you know, friends like to be together simply because it feels right. You know, we enjoy each other. We receive strength and encouragement and love. We talk, we pray together, we cry, we listen. Those are great friendships to have. But sometimes we also have to say the difficult things that our dearest friends need to hear. Have you ever had to do that with a friend, or is that the one person that you shy away from doing that with?
I know that is hard, but you know what? If you truly love them, then you need to, if they're doing something self-destructive, it's your duty to tell them if you really love them. And, you know, I really like personally having theological discussions.
I know you do. We've had many.
And there's a great Proverbs for this. Proverbs 27:17 that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's a big part of my friendships, too. Mm,
that's wonderful. And you know, our hope is that, you know, in sharing some of these positive, good pictures of friendship, it might show you areas that might need a little work in your own effort to build stronger friendships. But if you don't have a lot of close friends, and I know a lot of you are just yearning for that, it can be lonely out there, ladies. And don't be too hard on yourself. Remember, true Christian friendships are rare treasures, and they really take time to nurture. But in the process, it's such a valuable treasure when we do. So be like that man who found the pearl in his field and treasure that always.
And, you know, there's some great advice in Proverbs, too, when it comes to these kinds of friendships. I love Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Oh, my goodness.
So be careful. If someone is just telling you how wonderful you are all the time, they're not a true friend.
Yeah. And you know what else? Supposed friends that we have, some of them can lead us into sin, and we need to be very, very careful of that. You know, the Bible verses are rife with those examples here. For instance, there was a verse in, I think it was 2 Samuel 13:1-6, talking about Absalom, David's son, and he had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, David's son, it says, loved her, and Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon. And what this is saying here, you know, we need to be very, very careful that our friends don't lead us astray in regard to our faith as they sometimes did in Israel, leading others to worship false gods, leading others to have inappropriate relationships. You know, in those days, such an act was punishable by death. It's not that way now. The world will look the other way on sin and just laugh about it or encourage it. We, as women of God, need to make sure we're not leading one another into sin.
There's some great verses in Deuteronomy 13 about this, too. It talks about how if your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your son or your daughter, or even your wife you embrace, or your friend who is as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods," which neither you nor your fathers have known. Basically, run.
Yeah.
Not really a friend. Run from them. So,
yeah.
And talking about this, your friend who is as your own soul, where that comes from when you look at the friendship that Jonathan and David had,
yeah.
And it's talked about how they actually had a covenant friendship where they looked at each other as brothers. And it says in 1 Samuel 18:1 that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul.
Oh.
So that was a wonderful friendship they had, but it did tear Jonathan apart because he was loyal to his father, but yet he loved David, whom his father was trying to kill. So you might be put in difficult situations like that,
yeah.
If you're a really close friend with someone. So, you know, just be careful. Walk carefully and make sure you're always seeking the Lord no matter what.
Well, amen. And even in the New Testament, you know, Paul told the church at Corinth, and this is in, you can find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. He said, "Bad company corrupts good character." And so he was advising them on choosing wisely the people that you are with. And women, we can take this to heart. We did get an email that I wanted to share. And this one is from my friend Beth, who wrote in and said, she learned a lot about friendships last year at a conference, and the title of her workshop that she went to was How to Have Drama-Free Relationships. And I think women like drama.
Yeah.
And she says, drama is making issues where there are none. And one of the ways that we as women do this is because we can't keep our mouths shut. We need to stop talking about people and don't hide behind excuses like, "Well, I need to know how to pray for so-and-so, so I need more details," just to gossip about people. You know, couldn't you not say, "God knows, you know, pray for my friend. I won't tell you her name, but God knows her name." You know,
mm-hmm.
Why not? So Beth goes on to say, because of this gossip, we are afraid to be real with each other. After all, if your friends talk about other friends when you're around, what are they saying about you?
No kidding.
No. She says, there are some ways that relationships can be destroyed before they even get started. One is excessive neediness from one person. When your happiness or self-worth depends upon the love or acceptance of another woman, the relationship is not going to grow, and you will desire to be with that person all the time and will never be satisfied with how much of themselves, their time, and their attention that they're able to give you. And she says, for the person who you're relying on, it's suffocating to them. She says, often we have expectations of others that are unspoken, so the other person doesn't even know what they're expected to do, and those expectations are unfulfilled, which leads to hurt feelings on both sides. Well, Beth, you said a mouthful, so thank you.
Preach it, sister.
I know it. You know, and we've all had friendships like that. I know we have.
Yeah.
We can go back and sift through them and say, oh, yep, that's where that one kind of went off the tracks. Is there a chance that you can go back and reconcile?
I think that you can, but it has to be with those boundaries.
Yeah.
It has to be with realistic expectations. If one works, you know, 20, 30 hours a week, and the other one is a stay-at-home mom, then the stay-at-home mom can't expect the one who works to be available all the time to her. And it's the thing also I think we need to remember is no friendship should be as important as your time with Jesus.
Yes.
And if you are substituting a friendship with an earthly person for the time you should be spending digging into the Word and drawing closer to God, then it's really an idol to you.
Yeah, I agree, Nancy. We need to make sure that we put them in perspective. So the time we spend with Jesus, with our husbands, if you're married, those times need to be protected and sacred, and friendships need to be sacred as well. We protect them with our boundaries and our spiritual fruits that we have, our gentleness, our self-control, and our love for one another. And I think we'll leave that at the table right now, because I know a lot of you would probably like to chime in, but we are going to get ready for our Bible study segment. Sunny Shell is standing by, and she's going to have lesson 10 when we come back. This is our Proverbs 31 woman study, so you'll want to flip over to Proverbs 31, verse 19. We're in part 2 of She's a Distaff. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
Welcome back. We are into our Bible study segment now, and so I hope you have your Bibles open, or if you're driving around, I do want to encourage you to listen to this again with your Bible open, and we've got a spot on our website at Naomi's Table where you can download today's lesson. What you want to do is go to the lesson plans and look for Proverbs 31:19, She's a Distaff. And last time I was on here with Sunny Shell, Sunny's back with us, and we talked about what a distaff is and what it isn't. And today we're going to pick that up again, Sunny, and we're going to talk about how the world has reshaped what a distaff is. Let's do a brief recap for those who couldn't be with us yesterday.
Okay, well, we think about the name of someone being a spinster, an old spinster being someone who is just grumpy, old, frumpy, yucky, kind of has a scowl on her face, makes us want to scowl. But in Scripture, it says a distaff is someone like Dorcas. That's what she was called. A spinster was someone like Dorcas, someone who was beautiful, vibrant, intelligent, extremely gifted by God to be able to create clothing, beddings, curtains, tapestries, and all kinds of things, not only for her family, but providing for others in her community.
Mm. That's something that we don't think about today when we think of spinster, like you said, old, grumpy. That really changed with the feminist movement in the 1960s,
yes,
didn't it? We began to take this idea of a biblically strong woman and make her into something just really ugly and undesirable.
Right, and of course we had to do that because, you know, if you're going to lift yourself up above something else, you've got to tell everybody why the other one's bad.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would they go to what you're offering?
Mm.
So you always have to put that down. I call what happened with the false worldly feminist movement, as I've said before, I always say that because feminism, in its true beauty, is defined by God. And so I want to say the false feminism ideologies of the world is, I call it the Eve complex. And I call it that because it's the same complex that Eve, the idea that Eve struggled with in the garden that we do, and that is basically to be our own woman.
Mm.
You know, we want to be our own God. We want to have our own concerns. We want to express our opinions. We want to, I love this, we want to be treated just like men, but like women. And what I mean by that is, we want to have all the jobs of men and authority of men and do everything like guys do, but at the same time, we want them to remember that we have emotions and we have, you know, our menstrual cycles, and they need to be kind to us and open our doors and, you know. So,
or not open our doors because we'll get angry with them and because, brother.
That's true, but, you know, we want to be able to get pregnant and have our time off and still have our jobs,
yeah,
just like men. Unfortunately, men don't have babies and take off because of that. So, a little confusing about that just like men part there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very double standard that we have, that Eve complex. That's why, you know, Paul exhorts us in Titus 2. He says in Titus 2, 3 through 5, he says that the older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Now, you see here what's happening is God's word, as we know in our today's time, and ever since the false, deceptive, worldly definition of feminism came into play, God's word has been reviled.
Yes.
And it's being reviled because why? Because women are no longer being trained to love. You see this? I always thought that was peculiar. We have to be trained to love our husbands.
You know, it is amazing. If you don't have any kind of concept of being trained, then you don't really love your husband well. It's something, or at all. And it's something that we've been talking here quite a bit at Naomi's Table, where this idea of spiritual mothering, our trainers are women who are like Naomi, who help us glean the truth of God's word so that she's teaching us kind of the Titus model, if you will. She's teaching us how to love our husbands so that the word of God will not be reviled, and so that we can in turn spiritually mother the next generation. And so that's kind of what we're here for. Again, Satan has been lying to us from the beginning of time, but especially since the 1960s, when the whole feminist movement rolled around.
Yes, and then took a full hilt in the 70s, and by that point, there were nearly no mothers at home anymore. There were more latchkey kids because they thought they could bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan, as that Angelique commercial had said in our day and time. We're both dating ourselves with that one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
What? Yes. Oh, unfortunately, I still know it by heart. I've heard it so many times.
Yeah.
But we have to remember this. The false worldly feminist movement is tempted just the way that Eve was in the garden in Genesis 3:5, of course. What did Satan tempt her with? He said, you'll be like God. But what did he say? And when he says, you will be like God, it said all of a sudden she looked at the fruit and she decided two things. She decided it looked good to her fleshy eyes. It looked good for food, to feed her flesh, and for gaining knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, we still have that Eve complex. As women, we look at life and we go, oh, that looks like it'll benefit me. And it looks like it'll be something that'll make me feel intellectually superior.
Yeah.
And we still fall for that even in the church. And I know that's something that we talked about a while back. We're letting some of that worldly, that deceptive worldly feminism come into the church. One of the things that I did want to talk about in a way that we can get out of that as women is, again, go back to Scripture. Go back to Scripture and see how we can prepare ourselves not to fall into this Eve complex, not to succumb to the same temptation that Eve did, which was to sin against God by wanting to be her own God and puff herself up with false knowledge. And here's some of the things that we can do. The number 40 in Scripture is used as a time of preparation. There was 40 days and 40 nights that Moses was with God on the mountain, 40 years that God had the rebellious Israelites wander before they got to the Promised Land, 40 days, 40 nights that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by Satan in the desert, and even for us as moms, we carry our children for 40 weeks.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
So, I'd forgotten.
Well, for both of us, it's been quite some time. But it is 40 weeks, and those are just some of the examples where God uses the number 40, not only in the Bible, but, in our lives, how he has made all things. And so we take that, and we can think one thing. Because some women may be listening to this, and by the time they've gotten to this lesson, they're thinking, well, I have really messed up. I am hopeless. Mm-hmm. Just forget it. I'm never going to be. I want to encourage everyone, becoming a biblical woman in today's world is not an overnight occurrence.
No.
Just like growing up, as you watch your children and watch your babies, you would never take a newborn baby and yell at it and be frustrated because it's not already walking.
Mm.
You know there's a developmental period. So I want to encourage women and remind them that, it may be 40 days, 40 weeks, or 40 years that God's going to use in your life to prepare you to be this woman. Be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in God's timing. If your heart is willing to be there and be that woman that is so pleasing and precious in the sight of God, God will do it. But just don't let Satan fool you. Don't let your flesh or anyone else around you deceive you and discourage you by saying, it's so far and you've already messed up so much. you can't do it, because you have to remember that what's impossible for man is possible for God, and God uses all the things that are wicked in our lives for our good. So
yes,
please be patient.
And you know, I think of it as you were speaking there, Sonia, I was thinking of a rose bud, you know, one that hasn't bloomed yet. The bud is still pretty tight, but you can see the beautiful vivid red of the rose hiding in there. You would not take that rose bud and force it open and try to make that thing bloom on its own. So no more than we can make ourselves biblical, spiritually biblical women of honor on our own. We can't do that. God has to use his timing. He will bloom you, but we have to be in the word. We have to be nourished. We have to make sure we get that sunlight, S-O-N, and don't try to force it. Let it be God. Let it be the Holy Spirit, not our own flesh.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Amy, I'm so glad that you used that analogy, because right when you said that, the two things I thought of is, you're exactly right. If we were to force it open, what would happen to that rose?
It would be damaged and destroyed.
That's exactly right. And that's what we do when we try to force God's hand. And so how does the rosebud actually open, now that we've determined you can't pull it from the outside? How does it open?
It opens from the strength of, well, and I'm going to use the Holy Spirit, let's say, in our case, but it opens from time in development in the inside, and it just bursts forth, right?
That's right. So who opens it?
God opens it.
That's exactly right. And so I'm so glad that you used that, because, yes, only God can open that rose to be what it needs to be without injuring it.
Yeah.
It making it the beauty, making it fragrant, giving it the full essence of what he created it to be. But when we put our hands on his work and try to force it, we will destroy it. And so, yes, I want to encourage the gals, you know what, give it 40 days or 40 weeks or 40 years, 40 months, whatever it might be, but be patient, because, you know, these things take time. Do not be discouraged. You just press on to the Lord. Fix your eyes on the Lord. One little tidbit I want to give you from the homework, because there's homework in all of these lessons, the gals can get it online, is start by reading your Bible as often as you feed your flesh. If you feed your flesh a minimum of 3 times a day, ought you not feed your spirit, that's eternal, minimum of 3 times a day?
You know, yes, and not to be legalistic, but what a great challenge. I love that. I think I'm going to try that this very day and make sure that there is spiritual food waiting for me next time I pull myself up to my own table. But I'm so glad that you've been able to provide this spiritual food for us at Naomi's Table, Sonny. And I'm just, go to naomistable.com. You can go under our Bible Studies tab. This one in particular, you want to look for the title, Proverbs 31:19. She's a distaff. There's two parts to it. So if you missed the one that we had yesterday prior to this one, you can go there and download that one as well. Sonny Shell, thank you so much for this beautiful lesson in Proverbs. I just really appreciate you, and I know the ladies do too.
Thanks, Amy. I love being at the table with you, and I just look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time, Sonny. And stick with us, because we will be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table in our Bible study segment that you just heard prior to this. Sonny Shell was here, and she had lesson 10 in her Proverbs 31 Women's Bible Study. Please go get the notes for this. This is part 2, and she spent 2 days talking about verse 19 in Proverbs 31, and this one is titled, She's a Distaff, Part 2, and all the notes that you can find on our website, naomistable.com, will be under the Bible study tab. Nancy, what did you come away with on this one?
Well, she talked about how that false feminism of the world has really distorted the use of spinster to try to elevate their desires by tearing down the God-given roles. And when you think about the Eve complex, and you look at these, and remember, Eve wanted to be just like God, and she wanted to be just like Adam. She wanted to have the responsibilities that he had too. And you look at how that's still going on today in our world. Boy, is it ever.
Oh, it sure is. And you know, when feminism first came into the world, It seemed like this new thing. Really, ladies, there's nothing new under the sun. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden for our lust to control, even to take charge and control men, to control everything. We don't need anything. We don't want anyone telling us anything. It's that headstrong disobedience and going our own way.
And you look at the impact that has had on men. They are so confused. They don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
They don't know what to say. They don't know if they're even allowed to open a door for a woman anymore. And we've lost that leadership from them. We've lost that protectiveness from them. And it's really a shame that, you know, I don't think women in general in the world today realize how much they have given up in order to have things their own way.
Yes, we've been interviewing a lot of women at the table here, and you've heard their stories. And in the future, you're going to hear another interview that we did recently with a lady who was telling us all about how feminism really has destroyed not only women and men, but our children growing up with a whole different set of expectations, entitlements, all because of what happened in the 60s.
And even the majority of children now are growing up without fathers.
Yeah.
That is so sad when you look at the impact that they have on their children, and they're basically told they're not wanted or needed.
Yeah, well, and we tell them that with our looks and our actions all of the time, but we have also told them that with our ready acceptance of abortion as a way to get rid of problems. And so now children are problems.
Yeah. And the whole idea of abortion, it has turned children from being welcome gifts from God, who are gifted with every purpose that God has for them, to being basically property. Oh, if I feel like it, I'll have it. And, you know, when you think about what goes into the miracle of life, the creation of life, to think that we can just toss it away. Because, oh, it's inconvenient for me. I really shudder for the impact on these women's minds.
Yeah.
That long term, they are really setting themselves up for.
Well, you know, and as biblical women of God, we can counteract that by sharing with other women, especially, you know, our new Christian women, the ones that we spiritually mother, what a biblical woman looks like, and contrast that with what the world has come to tell us that biblical womanhood is, well, it's just the opposite, really. You know, it's a giving, sacrificial love that we give to our daughters, whereas the world will tell you it's all about me. You know, you can whatever you give to me, you know, that's your worth. So it, you know, because it's all about me.
Oh, and when you have a whole world full of narcissistic, selfish people, it doesn't look very pleasant.
No, it doesn't. But you know, if you're struggling with becoming a biblical submissive, you know, that S word again, it doesn't happen overnight. And we've got a lot of unlearning to do that our society and our world, our culture has taught us. So we need to unlearn some of the ways of the world so that we can become these women of God, because God and the world, it's like oil and water. We don't mix.
No. And above all, you have to be patient as the Holy Spirit works in you. And you have to stop putting up a fight against Him.
Yeah.
For pity's sake, ladies.
Let it go.
Cooperate. Exactly. Cooperate with Him.
Yeah. And we're talking to ourselves as much as anybody else, because, Nancy, I don't know about you, but it's been very difficult for me to do that, to give up control.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all want to be in control. We all want to call the shots, because there's that fear of the unknown when you do let go.
Yeah.
And you do let the Holy Spirit just sweep you wherever He is going to take you. It's almost like when you walk out into the river and your toes no longer can touch the bottom and the current is strong.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You have that fear initially. But if you just let go and let Him have His way in you, let Him transform your thoughts, let Him convict you of sin, let Him give you the grace to quickly forgive and to look at others' needs as more important than your own.
Yeah.
It is going to be so worth it, ladies.
Yeah, and you can cooperate, but you can't make it happen. You can't force it to happen. So the Holy Spirit will do His work in you in His time. Like Nancy said, cooperate, but you don't have to have, you know, a formula or anything like that in order to cooperate. Just be in prayer. and be open to his leading.
And by all means, do the homework.
Yes.
Feed your spirit by reading the word as often as you feed your flesh. That was a great idea.
Yeah, I think it was too. You know, we go to church maybe once or twice a week, some of us. Sometimes, some of you don't have churches at all. And I would just really encourage you to find a fellowship of people, men and women, gathering together in Christ's name to just glorify God and learn about him. Surely you must be hungry for his word by now, so yeah. We need to feed that.
And this particular homework assignment is going to be really hard for me because I snack all afternoon long. I'm going to be in my word quite a bit today.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to tell you, ladies, what's in here. You'll just have to go and download the homework and enjoy it, because I think you will be filled up and satisfied with what you're going to find in the study notes today. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, one more email and some Bible scripture to fill you for the rest of the day. We'll be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. Have a question or comment for Naomi's Table? Send an email to connect@naomistable.com. Now, back to the table.
Well, we're back at the table, Nancy, and I think that we've gotten a lot into some Bible verses about what God says about friendship, and I had a chance to ask the ladies at the table in our Google Plus community group what they thought about this topic, and I got quite a few responses. I want to read one. Before I do, though, I would like to encourage people to join the Google Plus community. If you are feeling out of touch, if you don't have those women in your life who can sharpen you, like we talked about, the Bible says, please do go and join. And the way you do this is you have to have a Google account or a Gmail account. And so you go to naomistable.com and you read the little description there about our group, and then you click to join. And once you have a Gmail account, you can set up your Google Plus account. I know if you're already in there, I'm kind of talking, speaking to the choir here, but we really encourage those close friendships. And there are no guys in there, so you don't have to worry about that. It is safe and it's monitored. We make sure that there is nothing damaging going on in there. So we can sharpen each other. We share scripture. We hold each other accountable, and we have some beautiful conversations. Before we go to our Bible verse, we have an email here. Going back to Beth's email, I wanted to read this part of it because I didn't get to before. She said, we have to realize what kind of friends we are and what kind of friends we have around. Don't expect your friends to give you what they don't have. They can't meet all your needs. And then she writes this, Nancy, I'd love to have a little talk about this one. She says, be real with each other, but not raw. Oversharing private details at the beginning of a relationship when you don't even know if this woman is safe and trustworthy can damage your relationship and make you less likely to open up in the future. And she says, ends it with, remember, friendship is not all about me. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Some people will not like you no matter what, and that is okay. So, any thoughts on any of that?
Well, I agree. I'm definitely not everyone's cup of tea. So, but I think with the oversharing, I tend to be blatantly honest and open, mm-hmm. as you know, if you have been listening to this show,
yeah.
about any details of my life. I look at it as proof of what Christ has done
yeah.
in my life. So I have tried to be very open and honest, and I'll do that with anyone, whether
yeah.
it's someone I just met or a friend or anything like that. And if they take that information and want to use it against me, boom. You're
yeah.
welcome to. It's kind of hard to use information against you when everyone else knows it, too.
Yeah, exactly. So you are an open book.
I'm an open book.
Yeah,
you know, heart on the sleeve, open book. I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you what I feel. And I don't allow my feelings to control me
yeah.
as much as I am able. I try to rely on the truth of God's word and be thankful for the growth he has accomplished in me and what he's done to change me from what I once was. So I don't have a problem talking about what I used to do and I don't have a problem talking about how I still continue to stumble because, hey, ladies, we need accountability, and I welcome that.
Yeah, and if you know, and my temptation is to run away from drama, and I've never been a drama person, and I'm blessed to have a daughter who's a teenager now who also doesn't like drama. I mean, she's about
she's a rare jewel.
I know, she's as steady as can be, and but she's an excellent friend, and I actually learn a lot from watching her. She's 16, and she is about as loyal as a friend can be, and she's there when people need her, even if they're in drama. Mm-hmm. And so I need to make sure that, I don't shy away from that. In the past, I'd flee and say, oh, I'll talk to you later. I don't do that anymore. I need to stay in, and that way, when I do have my own drama, which we all do, I will have friends there for me as well.
Oh, and I think that, you know, with your daughter, it's wonderful that you have that relationship with her as long as you still remember you're the mom.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You're the parent, and you have a duty to fulfill as that, not just to be a friend to your child, but to be their parent, which is who they really need at this stage to make sure that they know the boundaries that keep them safe.
Amen, Nancy, and we're very honest with each other about that. And I told her I'm looking forward to the day when those walls do come down. I will always be her mom, and I'll always love her that way and treasure her for the beautiful daughter that she is. But someday, I hope, and I've told her this too, that we can be just dear friends as well.
I really look forward to heaven when we're going to have so many friends, and we're going to be spiritually intimate with all of them.
Yeah.
Isn't that going to be so cool?
It is. I hope that encourages those of you who've, if this show has triggered a longing in you and you're thinking, I don't have those close friends, just wait. You will.
Yeah. Okay. Now for a little bit of a warning here.
Aren't you going to end us on something soft and fluffy, Nancy?
No. Oh. I was really led to Micah chapter 7.
Okay.
And Micah chapter 7 is viewed as a very prophetic chapter, I believe. And verse 2 especially talks about something that could be the rapture, but certainly it could indicate the time of tribulation that's coming. It's talked about in Revelation. So I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'm going to skip down to 5 through 7. Verse 2 says, "The faithful have disappeared from the land, and there is no one left who is upright. They all lie in wait for blood, and they hunt each other with nets." Now let's skip down to verse 5. "Put no trust in a friend. Have no confidence in a loved one. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your embrace. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies are members of your own household. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me."
I love that. What a great, I'm so glad that you were led to read that.
Well, as we know, we are approaching the last days, ladies. All the signs are there. All the prophecies have been fulfilled that set that up. Israel being made a nation, Israel taking control of Jerusalem. All of these prophecies that were required before the last days could come have been accomplished. So as we get near to the end, we don't know whether the rapture is going to happen before tribulation, mid-tribulation, after tribulation. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. Someone said, oh, I'm a pan-millennialist.
Yeah,
whatever pans
out. Yes, I've heard that too.
So whatever does happen as these times draw near, remember the most critical thing of all is that last verse. "I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me."
Oh, amen. And ladies, we need to be women like the 10 virgins. We want to be those 5 virgins who are ready with their lamps trimmed, their wicks trimmed, and their lamps filled with oil. And so that's what we need to do. And we need to share Jesus with as many people as we can who don't know him. And do that with your friendships, but do that with strangers as well.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to say goodbye, but thank you so much for joining us at the table, and we will be back tomorrow. Please do share all the Bible studies, resources, any podcast that you find at naomistable.com. We would love that, and we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you. you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.